you'll take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter number 28. You know, it's amazing how the Lord works things out, and Grant's message there just kind of ties right along into what the Lord's laid on my heart. Unlike Grant, I have not known what I was going to preach since I was a freshman. That's not something that the Lord gave me back then, but it's something that the Lord's laid on my heart here recently. But as you said, when you get up here, there's certain people you want to thank. There's certain people you want to acknowledge. And so I like to take the time to do that. You know, looking back on as I came here as a freshman, I am thankful for just the guiding hand of the Lord. You know, I came from Brunswick, Georgia. Not a lot of people you have heard of that. Maybe Mitchell Johnson. He's about the only one that's heard of that town. Or, yeah, you know, Tabitha there, too. She's waving her hand at me. But not many people, you know, have heard of that before. But to bring me from a place in Brunswick, Georgia, to North Carolina, to, you know, save me at the age of 15, to call me to preach, to just move people around the way that he sees fit, and to guide his hand in our lives is just wonderful to see. You know, things that I could not have planned myself, God has planned for me. And I'm just so thankful for just the church that he's put me in up here. I'm thankful for Temple Baptist Church where I serve up there, and I'm thankful for a Paul that's been able to mentor me. Pastor Bixler, he's just been tremendous help in my life, just teaching me and showing me the different things in the ministry. I am thankful, so thankful for him. I'm also thankful for Charity, for her just being the help meet and just the one that God has placed for me in my life. I'm just so incredibly thankful for her. I'm excited to marry her. I'm marrying her in September, and again, I'm just thankful for all that God has blessed me with my life. I don't deserve it. And the truth is, none of us deserve what God's given us. But anyway, if you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 28. It's enough talking about people. Let's talk about Christ a little bit here. So Matthew 28, we're going to start reading in verse number 11. It says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And that when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." If I want to draw your attention to any phrase here, verse 17, the last part of it says, "But some doubted." And that's the title of my message this morning, is that some doubted, some doubted. The context of this chapter is the Marys went to go see Jesus in the tomb. As they went to go see Jesus in the tomb, they noticed something was different. An angel was there instead of Jesus. And you notice there, the angel said, "Go to Galilee, there will you meet Jesus." And so the two women there, they were just mesmerized by all this. They went and ran to tell all the disciples. And Jesus met them there on the way. And they fell down and they worshiped him. These two ladies, they fell down and they worshiped him. I love the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the sovereignty of God proved to all humankind is what it is. This man that made the lame to walk again, this Jesus who was a spotless Lamb of God, the one who was beaten for our transgressions, is the same Jesus in verse 17 that some men doubted. He's the same one that did all these miracles, but yet some people still doubted God. Those that he was closest to, those that claimed to love him the most, still doubted God. You know, as we read through this passage, I want you to understand what this word doubt means. It wasn't to outright deny Christ. I'm sure none of the disciples just said, "Hey, you know, I don't believe in Christ anymore. I doubt his existence," and I doubt any of you in here are like that, or you doubt the existence of Christ. It wasn't to outright deny him, but it was to be unsure, to waver, to decide between two opinions. It's how they doubted this man, Jesus Christ, this God, Jesus Christ. The ones that were closest to him. You know, this message is a simple one this morning. It's not deep theologically. It's not something that, you know, you have to labor and dive down into the word for. It's something that's on the surface. But something I think all of us struggle with is this idea of doubting God. Do you doubt God? Not his existence, but his working in your life. Do you doubt God? Whenever things are confusing, when things don't make sense, are you going to stay faithful or are you going to, you know, just fall by the wayside? Say, "Well, I don't know about this whole God thing." What happens when troubling times come? Where are you going to stand with your God? So this morning, I'm just going to give you just three simple thoughts. And I want you to do something with me. I want you to be transparent with yourself. You know, a lot of times whenever we're preaching, we think about somebody else, you know. I know I do that all the time. I think, well, somebody else needs this message. Yeah, somebody else. But I want you to be transparent with yourself. Be honest. And look at the mirror of God's Word and say, how does this apply to my life? And I want to be transparent with you this morning as well. So I want to share with you three ways that we can doubt God. The first one, we can doubt His presence, we can doubt His power, and we can doubt His proclamation. So first off, I want to look at how we can doubt His presence. Verse 17, it says, or verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Like I said, I'm not asking if you've ever doubted God's existence, but have you ever doubted God's activity in your life? Have you ever doubted His presence in a difficult time? You know, there were mixed feelings among these disciples. They weren't sure what was going on. Jesus had just died. He was on the cross. They saw their Savior crucified, but they're wondering in their minds, well, why did He have to die? Why was He going on? They didn't know the whole plan for His life. They didn't know what was going on, but they knew that Jesus was no longer with them. You know, nobody was sure what was going on. Some still believed in God, but the Bible says some doubted Him. Some were unsure. The one who walked with Him and the one that taught them every day was now gone. What were they to do? You know, think about it from the disciples' perspective. You know, their Savior, they just saw Him mocked, crucified, beaten on a cross. And they were still supposed to believe in Him? Yes, they were. But some people's faith wavered. They doubted God. They had something to try their faith, and they did not know what was real anymore. Like I said, I'm going to be very transparent with you this morning. Mr. Hankey already mentioned just kind of something that happened to me. But between my freshman and my sophomore year, something happened to me where I doubted the presence of God in my life. It was about April there whenever I received a call from my mom. And she told me, she said that she had found some spots on their liver and that some lesions and stuff. So she was going to go to the doctor. She told me not to worry about it and that they were going to, you know, check it out. It shouldn't be anything too bad and whatnot. And so time went on. And whenever I got home, things were getting more serious, and she started going through more tests. And I remember it was about the second week that I was home, first or second week I was home, I don't recall. But anyway, she was going to the doctor to visit them and get a screening whether or not she had cancer. And so I was sitting there, I was home alone, I was waiting for him to get back. And I remember both my parents walked in, and you just know when something's going on. And my mom ran up to me. She hugged me, and then she ran back in her room just bawling, crying. And anyway, my dad followed. Sorry. My dad followed behind her with tears in his eyes. He began to tell me she had cancer. And I tell you, that rocked my world right there. And I love my mom. I did. But the thing is, time went on. I began to get mad at God. You know, Mr. Hankey, I appreciate his faith in me, but that wasn't the case. You know, I had faith in God, but the thing was, is I still doubted Him. Doubted His goodness. Doubted His faithfulness. And time went on. As my mom, I watched her die and get worse and worse. I remember it was a time in the hospital, and my mom was out of her mind. She just... the cancer had taken its toll on her and everything, but anyway, she was in the hospital. She wasn't awake. She wasn't anything. If she woke up, she was talking nonsense. And so I remember walking out of the room and asked God, I said, God, I got to see something. You know, I got to see You work in her life. I need You to just have a moment with her. You know, I just need You to wake her up. Let me talk to her one last time. And I went in about an hour later. God did that for me. And I'm just so thankful for that. But I remember here, whenever I was mad and angry and I was doubting God, I needed to see some kind of sign. And this passage came to my mind here in John 20:25. It was a passage whenever Thomas was debating whether or not Jesus had rose from the dead. And John 20:25 says, except I shall see His hands, in His hands the print of nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand to His side, I will not believe. And then whenever Jesus appeared unto Thomas, He said, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And He said to Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen Me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I was like Thomas. I had to see something before I believed in the goodness of God. Do not be that way. God is good all the time. You do not need to doubt God. God is faithful. God is good. And no matter what goes on in your life, I can tell you God is always, always faithful, and He is not to be doubted. You know, belief is not restricted to whenever God answers your prayers. Belief is not restricted to whenever you have a big experience in your life. It's not restricted to big moment Christianity. It's not restricted to whenever you lead a soul to the Lord. It's not restricted when everything is going great, when your school bill is paid. But it is belief with faith without proof. Without proof. Whenever everything in your life seems to be going wrong, have faith. Trust God. Don't doubt Him. But believe in Jesus Christ. You need to believe without even seeing. Even when you don't understand what is going on, you need to see His plan. Just believe. You know, we couldn't handle the full picture of God, could we? You know, if we saw everything, all God's hands working in our life, we just wouldn't be able to understand it. But you know what? God shows us piece by piece His plan, His will for life. Don't be faithless. Don't doubt God. Don't say, I'm just unsure of His plan for my life. You know, God has a plan for you, but you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Do you doubt His presence? You know, blessed are they that have seen, that have not seen, and yet have believed. Blessed are they. Will you doubt His presence in every area of your life, or will you believe even whenever He doesn't seem near? God is always near. So you can doubt His presence. But secondly, we can doubt His power. You know, in order for those present to doubt, they had to doubt the power of Christ to be resurrected. They had to doubt Christ had the power to overcome death. They had to doubt His ability to do the impossible. For those that were just unsure, they had to have a little bit of doubt in their mind that God could not do the impossible. Christ said in verse 18, He said, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given to me. Do you truly believe that? All right, now it's time to be transparent. Do you believe that God has all power? Do you believe that God can do the impossible, anything in your life? Do you honestly believe that? Do you believe that God has a call on your life? If that is true, you need to sell out. Oh, be faithful to Jesus Christ. The calling of God comes with an enabling to do what He has called us to do. If you say, God has called me to be a preacher, God has called me to be a teacher, God has called me to do this, this, or this, whatever it may be, God has enabled you in everything to do that certain thing. He has given you the power to do that through Jesus Christ, not of yourself, but of Christ. You know, I imagine doubts rose in their hearts. They had wasted their life. You know, those disciples there said, man, well, Christ is dead. What if I just wasted 3 years of my life following Him? You know, what if I go through Bible college and I just end up that, you know, my ministry's a failure and that I never do anything great for Christ? I tell you, don't doubt. Be faithful. Trust Christ that He's going to do a work in you. You know, usually when everything seems like it's falling apart, it's when God is doing the most building in your life. That's whenever God is doing the most in your life, is when everything seems like it's falling apart. You know, do you feel inadequate? Just have faith. Do you have a pressing need in your life? Have faith in God. Do you have a school bill that needs to be paid? Have faith in God. Do you have problems that you just can't get past? I'm telling you, have faith in God. Trust Him. Because He has the power to do a great work in your life if you will just have faith. The sad thing is Christians don't have faith. Christians don't believe God. Christians, they say they believe God. They say they want the power of God in their life. But whenever it comes to it, they don't want to have faith in God. They don't want to put themselves out there. They doubt God. They doubt Him. The power of God enables you to do the supernatural, that which could otherwise never be accomplished. You know, whenever I was a kid, I had my room and everything. I shared a room with my brother. And the thing was, is that we had this large dresser. I'm talking, it was like 7 or 8 drawers. The thing was huge, like from like the 1800s. It was just ginormous. This huge thing. And so anyway, whenever I was a kid, I was about 7, 8 years old. And I went to go get some clothes out of this dresser. And so I go to my dresser and I pull on it. And something happens where it just kind of gets stuck. And so I'm just sitting there, I'm yanking it. You know, I'm not as strong as I was today, you know. So, you know, I couldn't just yank it out there. But I began to pull on it, and that dresser toppled over and fell on top of me. And I was 7, 8 years old, and y'all see me now, I was a lot smaller back then. And so anyway, I'm sitting there, I'm like struggling, trying to lift this thing. It's on top of my face, you know. And I'm just trying to lift this thing up. I'm like, help, help, help. And the thing was, I could not lift this dresser up off me. But then my dad came in the room, and he came in the room, and he lifted up that dresser, and he enabled me to lift up that dresser and get it off. You know, God is the same exact thing for us. He He does. Whenever there's something that we can't handle, when there's just a situation, or you know, whether it's a ministry or just with your school bill or whatever the application applies to you, when there's something that's just, it's too hard for you to handle, all you have to do is call on God. All you have to say, hey, help me, and God will come along and with His power enable you to do that which He has called you to do. But you got to trust Him. You got to call on Him. That's what we have to do. We got to call on Him. You know, just like my dad came alongside to lift up what I could not, the Savior comes alongside and enables us to do that which we otherwise could not. You've got a calling on your life that you cannot accomplish. You cannot. But there's a God that can. You need to trust Him, rely on Him, have faith. You know, everyone here has a calling from God to do something. God has a plan for their life, but do you doubt His plan? Do you doubt His plan? You know, what a shame it would be for somebody to go through Ambassador Baptist College and reject the power of God in their lives just because it doesn't make practical sense. You know, there's some people that I've watched from freshman year on to senior year. They get out of Bible college, they find a good job, and they're just you know, settled with, I'm going to go, I'm going to have a good job, I'm going to just, you know, maybe teach a Sunday school class, I'm going to do that there in my life. But if God's called you to preach, if God's called you to pastor, if God's called you to be evangelist, if God called you to be a missionary, if God's called you to do something in life, don't settle for this world's philosophy of success. Don't settle for something that's going to earn you money. Don't settle for something that is material, because there's going to come a day where you have to stand before Christ and give an account for the gift that He's given you. Give an account for something that God has called you to do, but yet because you doubted, because you said, no, Lord, because you said, I don't believe in you, you're going to stand before God and be ashamed. I would hate for anybody to do that just for the sake of a job, just for the sake of just some security. Say, there's no greater security than in Jesus Christ. Do not doubt His power. Do not doubt His power. Christ is real. He just needs Christians to live like He is. He just needs Christians to live like He is. If they doubted God was going to do what He said He would do. Thirdly, we've got to move on here. But we can doubt His presence. We can doubt His power. But lastly, you can't preach this passage without preaching about soul winning. And we can doubt His proclamation. Verse number 18 says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Even to the end of the world. Amen. You know, God has given us a clear command here in Scripture to give the gospel. Christ said that all power was given unto Him, and because all power was given unto Him, that we should go, that we should teach and preach, because He has enabled us to do so. He has the right to command us, and we have the calling to go. We have that calling to go. God said to go, to teach others, to proclaim the gospel. You know, I am ashamed for how I witness for Christ. I do not nearly enough to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. But why is that? You know, we need to get back to believing that the gospel is the true agent by which lives are transformed. If you're not careful, you can get caught up in thinking, well, it's my personality. You know, it's how I talk to people. It's my relationship with people. And although you want to build relationships, although you want to, you know, talk to people and all that kind of stuff, it is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms lives. And I'm afraid we've gotten away from that. You know, I'm not trying to criticize or anything, but oftentimes we can use a track as a cop-out sometimes. We can go and we can give them a track and walk away and say, you know, that's it. I've done my duty. I've done my job. But if you truly believe in the proclamation of the gospel, if you truly believe in the name of Jesus Christ, it's not enough just to give them a track and walk away, but although that's great, but hey, tell them about the gospel. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Hey, give them something and tell them about it. Explain that to them. They need to hear the gospel. If you truly believe the gospel has power, why aren't you telling people? Why doesn't all your coworkers know that you are a Christian? Why doesn't all the people around you know that you believe Christ, you love Christ? Why don't they know that? I'm afraid because we don't truly believe in the power of the gospel. We doubt God. We doubt His power of the gospel. Transformation is not brought on by your ability to befriend someone. Transformation is not based on your charisma, your personality. Transformation is done by the changing power of the Holy Ghost. This call of proclamation is what God has enabled all of us to do. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, it's time for us that we believe that. It's time for us as Christians that we would truly believe in the power of the gospel, in the power of His proclamation. You know, Christ appeared not to be doubted, but He came back so that we could tell others. The gospel can transform so many lives if we would just let it transform us first. if we would just let it transform us first. You know, and my time is up. There's other things I want to say, but I'm going to close with this. You know, there's going to come a time and opportunity in everyone's life where you're going to have the opportunity to doubt God, whether it's in His presence through a certain situation in your life, whether it's His power through, you know, God's future call in your life, or whether it's just the witnessing or the proclamation here. You know, the only hindrance to the Savior and His work on this world, you ready? You know what it is? It's the unbelief of His children. That's what it is. God wants to work, but we got to believe. We got to stop doubting. We got to say, hey, God, I trust Your promises. I trust what You tell me to do, and I'm going to go for it with my whole heart. Is that you? Are you settled in your heart saying, I'm going to do what God wants you to do no matter what? No matter if it doesn't even make sense, no matter if I can see Him or not, I'm going to trust God. I hope that's your life this morning. I hope it is. But do you doubt God? Are you going to be the some that doubted? Are you going to be those that believe? I hope it's those that believe.